To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan. Which then brings us on to the story you're on to talk about, Jim. And Brendan McGrew is joining us, the commentator. He's a former special advisor, actually. Morning to you, Brendan.
Morning, Stephen.
And we're asking the question this morning, why do special advisors at Stormont cost so much more here than elsewhere? When you break the figures down, the average cost of a special advisor in Northern Ireland is £103,538 each. This is the average cost. Jim, you've got these figures. And in Wales, the average cost is £58,500. So £58,500 is the average cost of a special advisor in Wales. It's not quite double, but it's nearly double in Northern Ireland. £58,000 compared to £103,000 in Northern Ireland.
Well, in fact, Stephen, could I update you? Because yesterday I got the figures for 2014-15. And the cost in Northern Ireland is now an average of over £106,000. So it's even worse than that.
Yeah, those figures I have were for 13-14. So you've got the latest ones.
Yes, the latest ones were published yesterday. And they're £106,000 on average. Now, that is preposterous because not only in terms of the scale, the salary, but we also proportionately have far more special advisors. We have 19 in Northern Ireland. Scotland, where they have a fully functioning proper government, they manage with 14.
Well, we've got more departments in Northern Ireland.
Yes,
and more parties in government.
That's folly itself, having more departments. But we have one department in Northern Ireland which is the same number of special advisers as the whole of the Welsh government, and that's the department of the Joint First Ministers. Now, why do the Joint First Ministers in Northern Ireland need 8 special advisers when the whole of the Welsh government, with all its departments, can survive with 8 special advisers? This system has been milked to the nth degree.
You're sniping again from the sidelines, though.
No,
this is another.
I'm drawing attention to something that's wholly indefensible. There are 3 aspects of special advisors where there are excesses. There's the numbers. I've illustrated that. One department with the same number as the entirety of Wales. There is the salary, almost twice the salary levels of some other parts. And the other comparable is Scotland. And the average salary in Scotland costs is £73,000 a year.
So the total.
And the third deficiency in the system is, as the Stephen Brimstone case demonstrated, that they can be exempted, though they are civil servants, from the disciplinary procedures of the civil service.
So, Brendan,
that's why I want to address those 3 issues, reduce the numbers, tie the salaries to a comparable civil service scale, and make them subject to the disciplinary procedures of the civil service.
So, Brendan McGrew, if we compare the total cost of the special advisors in Wales, for example, £468,000, compared to the total cost of special advisors in Northern Ireland, £2 million. So we're £1.5 million more expensive for special advisors in Northern Ireland than in Wales for the year 2014-15, Brendan.
Yeah, and I'm not going to try and defend that, Stephen. And, you know, hats off to Jim for persevering and getting the figures and getting the bang up-to-date figures. I think that's very hard to stand over. But I do think that the special advisors in a functioning government, and ours is not functioning as well as it should do, they do play an important role. There's no doubt about that. And the special advisors, they're the link between the minister and the party, the link between the minister and the department. And they should, in theory, be a link with each other.
What's a special advisor do?
Well, to give you an example, I was a special advisor to Sean Farran when he was Minister of Finance and Personnel back in 1999-2000, up until October 2002. And along with all of the other special advisors, we would meet every Monday morning, every special advisor from across the executive. In those days, there were less because at OFM, DFM, there were 2 special advisors to the First and Deputy First Minister and a special advisor to each of the junior ministers, which meant that there were 6 in total. When that 6 became 8, I don't know when that happened, and there's no need to have 8 special advisors in one government department, OFM, DFM. Even allowing for the special political system that we have here, there's certainly no need to have 8, and we did have 6 in those days. We met on a Monday. We would meet with an eye on that following Thursday's executive meeting, and in those days, the executive met every Thursday. They had a very big volume of work to get through, And we would meet along with a senior civil servant from each of our departments. And we would meet for 5, 6, or 7 hours at a time to hammer out issues that were due to arise that week.
So it's part of the role of these special advisors to come up with big ideas for their ministers and solutions, right? Because it really feels in stormant like that's happening, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's part of the problem, Stephen, part of the perception. Because if legislation was being brought to the floor of the Assembly at pace, and if there was policy ideas coming forward at pace, I don't think people would be as critical of the role of special advisors as they are. And that's a big part of the problem. That's part of the wider political malaise and the stagnancy which exists around Stormont at the minute. It's certainly hard to justify the cost that we have, given the lack of political activity.
You would concede, Jim Allister, would you not, that some of these special advisors are some of the brightest minds in Northern Ireland?
Some of them aren't. There certainly are some who, if I was looking for advice on a particular issue, they would be more than suitable for giving it because they have some speciality. There are some that they would be the last people you'd go for advice because they're just party apparatchiks who have been put there at some sort of award, who have no knowledge, no specialist knowledge about the department they're in whatsoever, and effectively make very little contribution. But there is a role for special advisors if they are specialists. I think the real issue here is getting the matter into manageable proportions, and I would be calling on the Joint First Ministers to get with the programme instead of putting self-interest of trying to defeat the proposal I'm going to bring forward. Put the public interest first. Recognise it's indefensible to have 8 special advisors in OFM, DFM. Recognise that it's indefensible to pay them above the odds in terms of the other devolved assemblies. Recognise that if they're civil servants, they must be subject to the disciplinary procedures of the civil service. And the Joint First Ministers need to give leadership on this matter. Now's the time, now's the opportunity with this upcoming bill for them to do that.
Where did you get these figures from?
Sorry?
Where did you get these figures from?
Well, because of the last special advisors bill that I piloted through Stormont, every year the Minister of Finance has to publish the cost of special advisors in Northern Ireland. And that's where I got the figures that I've been quoting for Northern Ireland. The figures for Scotland and Wales I have extracted from parliamentary questions and publications in Scotland and Wales. They're all verified. They're all annotated in the consultation paper I've issued. And they certainly stand scrutiny in that regard. So they're in the public domain. And are there for anyone?
Let us know what you think at home about this. 0845 955 678. You could say that Northern Ireland is a much more complicated place, and the politics are much more complicated, Jim, than Scotland or Wales.
More special pleading, another special case, please.
Will you tell us every day of the week that Northern Ireland's different than elsewhere?
We're not. You know, you can't go on forever special pleading and all of this. No department needs the quantum of special advisers that the Joint First Ministers have. They just can't possibly need that. And therefore, they need to come into line with what is the norm of practice elsewhere in salary, in numbers, and in discipline.
You see, the way you say we can't keep on pleading that Northern Ireland's a special place, is that not exactly what you should be doing? Do you not try to put Ballymena, your area, as a priority above everywhere else?
I try to get a fair deal for North Antrim and complain, for example, when Invest NI neglected and only bring 5 foreign direct investors in 5 years to my constituency. Of course I complain about that, but we can't in the national scene go on with any credibility saying that in everything Northern Ireland is a special case. How big is this begging bowl going to be?
Here's Patrick in Derry. Morning, Patrick.
Hiya. Well, Jim's right about it. I mean, I did pull it up. It's hard to believe this little 1,700,000 people has their spads get more money than the whole of Wales and Scotland put together, and nobody queries it. I know you do your job. You do a great job on the programmes, but nobody's ever answerable in Northern Ireland. I think Jim Allister's banging his head against the wall here. They'll go on and give it to their friends. Them spads can't be all that important that they have to get more money than the Welsh or the Scottish put together. There's something wrong with this corrupt system, and he's right about that.
Well, it's not corrupt, is it?
Oh, it is.
It's not corrupt. It's all done legally. And
how can it be done legally?
Of course it's done legally. It's not done illegally.
But how can it be done legally to get more than the Welsh and the Scottish put together?
Who decides the rate, Brendan Mulgrew?
Referring back to my own time, Stephen, it is a few years ago, there was the general rule was that anyone who took on the position of special advisor should not, and I think the wording was almost verbatim, should not gain or lose significantly by moving from one job into the special advisor role. So it was up to that person then to go along to the department and say, I've been asked to take on this role as special advisor. I'm leaving.
But who signs their salary off? Who is the gatekeeper for how much they're getting?
So the salary I'm leaving behind was this, and therefore the salary I should get when I become a special advisor. And there was an accounting officer within the department with the agreement of the minister, would then agree that salary.
Jim Alistair, do you know who actually signs it off?
Yes, I do. It's all in the code of appointment. It's signed off by the minister and the accounting officer. So the minister and the permanent secretary decide the salary, and my understanding is that the minister more often than not suggests what it should be. And the permanent secretary agrees. As to this idea that it's in some way comparable to what these people were earning outside, I can think of one special advisor who worked as a spin doctor for the DUP when he was paid maybe £30,000-£35,000 a year. Today, he's been paid up to £92,000 a year of public money. So I think the comparison between what people were earning before they went into that post what they are now.
That was the wording, Jim. I'm not sure how it plays out, or how when someone has been there for 10 years or more.
They qualify year on year for an uplift.
Yeah, yeah.
Generally, under the that part of the civil service scheme tends to apply to them.
Yeah, and under those circumstances, the role that you've left behind becomes increasingly irrelevant as time moves on, because you're locked into this new pay scale and a series of uplifts year on year.
But the other thing, Stephen, the other thing to point out
is that these appointments are made. There's no boarding process.
There's no adverts.
There's not. But you could then argue, Jim, that if a political party wants a special advisor, let's take any party, the DUP. Well, the DUP is hardly going to want a Sinn Féin supporter as their special advisor.
I accept that absolutely, but I think there could be more transparency in the process. But I accept that point. But could I also say this? There are within the code two bands of salary, a lower band and a higher band. Last year, though it started out, there were some people in both bands. By last year, everyone was in the top band, which can stretch to £92,000 a year. So this has been maxed out at the taxpayer's expense.
Everybody's in the top band at a time when people are having cuts made to their benefits, to their wages. The public sector is on pay freezes. Nurses certainly deserve, they would argue, very strongly more than 1% of a pay rise. These special advisors have all been moved onto the top earning band. Is that what you're saying?
Well, now, in fairness to the SDLP, last year in DOE, when they replaced their special advisor, the new special advisor came in on the lower band, and that he or she was the only person out of the 19 who wasn't on the top band.
Kieran Limavady, how do you react to that?
Good morning, Stephen. I want to ask Jim a question. What's so special about Jim? He says that the spads weren't, some of them were good and some of them weren't so good. I would like to ask Jim, what makes him so special?
Absolutely nothing, but if the people elect me, then the people who elect me must think there's some merit in it.
Well, the reason why they elected you, Jim, because you shouted the loudest, because you're a unionist and you were against everybody that's anything to do with green and orange.
This isn't a green or orange issue.
I know it's not a green or orange issue, but the reason why you were elected was up against Mr. Paisley, and you tried to run him down, and then you tried them to get the Catholics, Protestants against Catholics.
Well, now, Jim, you would want to reply to that.
Well, this issue has nothing to do with Protestants or Catholics.
No, but
Hold on, Kieran. Let's let Jim reply.
This issue is about the use of public money, and I would have thought anyone nationalist or unionist would be concerned to get good value for public money and would see that it's illogical that we in this part of the United Kingdom should be paying almost twice as much as others for special advisors.
But these special advisors are essentially temporary civil servants, and their pay, Jim, is on a par with some senior civil servants, other senior civil servants in Northern Ireland. That's the point.
Their pay, in fact, in some cases, Some special advisers are being paid more than their ministers. A minister's basic salary in Northern Ireland is in around 80,000.
Well, maybe they're smarter than their ministers. Maybe they're better than their ministers.
Maybe there are, and maybe there's some ministers need a lot of specialist advice. But a minister's salary is in about £80,000. Special advisers in Northern Ireland can earn up to £92,000.
Can that be right, Brendan, that someone that's working for you can be earning more money? You know, an advisor to a minister is earning more money than the actual minister.
It is right in some cases, and it does happen. And the way the system allows for it. So, as you said earlier on, it's not illegal. Whether it's politically the right thing to do or not is another question. But it does happen, and it does go back to the skills in question or the specialism in question. And you know, some people who have left behind the roles of special advisors have gone on to senior jobs in private sector. They've gone on to senior jobs in public sector and back to the law in some cases. So there are people here. You know, we shouldn't just run down every special advisor and the system of special advisors.
I know some of them. Some of them are some of the smartest people I've met.
No doubt about that. And they all, in my experience, they all put in a lot of work. They all work long hours. They do make, for the most part, they make good efforts to try and improve things around Stormont, pushing water uphill in some cases. But I would stand over the system of special advisors and the need to have specialist advice built into government.
It's interesting. Okay, Jim Alistair, thank you very much indeed. Brendan Mulgrew, thank you.